So the Gemara begins on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. It quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had told us that Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shtei tafshilin. In Erev Tisha B'Av, during the Sudas Mafsekes, a person is not allowed to have two different types of food. In addition to that, a person can't have meat, nor could he have any wine on Erev Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara explains, Amar Yehuda lo shanu elo mishesh shels ulamala. It is only true, all the dinim of not having two tafshilin, and perhaps wine and meat as well, only applies after the sixth hour of the day. But before the sixth hour of the day, it's mutter to have this. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, different statement in the name of Rav Yehuda. Lo shanu ela besuda mafsik, but besuda she'enu mafsik, but mutter. This is only true, when could you not have two tafshilin? That's only the last meal right before the fast day. But if it's not the last meal of the day, any other meal during the day of Erev Tisha B'Av, one may have Shei Tafshilin or more. And the Gemara says, so how do we deal with this contradiction? Rav Yehuda seems to say two different things. Ritarvai Lukula, they're both true and they're both meant to be lenient. Meaning, what does it mean they're both meant to be lenient? Bitzricha, Di'yash Me'inan Besuda Hamafsik Ba, if you just said the last meal of the day, that's when you cannot have Shei Tafshilin. Hava Mina, I would have thought, Afilu Mishesh Shels Ulamata, even let's say my last meal is noon. On a perfect day, 6 to 6, 12 o'clock being the 6th hour, so it's noon. So if I had my last meal before noon, I would have thought I can't have Shei Tafshilin during that meal. Kamash Milan, Mishesh Shels Ulamata, it's only if you also have after the 6th hour, after 12 o'clock. V'yash Me'inan Mishesh Shels Ulamata, if we just learn the halacha of Rav Yehuda, that from the 6th hour and on, you can't have Shei Tafshilin. Hava mina afilu besuda she'enu mafsik ba. I would have thought, even if, let's say after 12 o'clock I had two meals, I had a meal at 2 o'clock and then I had a meal at 5 o'clock later on, I would think even the 2 o'clock meal, which is not my last meal, not my suda mafsekis, even that meal I can have shei tafshilin, kamash ba mesuda mafsik ba. So in other words, so when is the iser apply of not having shei tafshilin? It has to be the last meal of the day that happens after 12 o'clock. If you have one, not the other, it's either before 12 o'clock or it's not the last meal, even though it's after 12 o'clock, you would be allowed to have Shei Tafshilin or more. And then the Gemara says, quotes a Braisa, two Braises, Tanya Kilishna Kama, Tanya Kilishna Basa. We have one Braisa that supports the first presentation of Rabbi Yehuda, and then we have another Braisa that holds like the other presentation of Rabbi Yehuda. What are they? Tanik Kilishna Basra, the Braisa tells us, like the last presentation of Rav Yehuda, says as follows. Hasoed Erev Tisha B'Av, someone who has the meal on Erev Tisha B'Av. Im Asid Lisod B'Sudachars, if he's planning on having yet another meal before the fast starts, Mutulachal Basra L'Shos Yain, he's allowed to eat meat, he's allowed to have wine. If he's not planning on eating an additional meal, then Asid Lachal Basra L'Shos Yain, then he cannot eat meat, he can't drink wine, and we would also add he can't have Shtei Tafshilin. So this supports the second presentation of Yehuda, that all depends on when the last, if it's the last meal or not. If it's the last meal, then you have all these restrictions. If it's not the last meal, you do not have these restrictions. Then the Gemara says, Tani Klishna Kama, the Brayis that supports the first presentation of Yehuda, says as follows. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tafshilin. A person may not have two cooked items. Lo yochal basar, lo yishta yain. Person cannot eat meat, he cannot eat drink wine. Then comes along Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Bryson says, Omar Yishana, he has to do some type of change. So the Gemara says, doesn't tell us what type of, yeah, the Gemara says, what's considered a shinoi? What type of change does he have to do? So Omar Rav Yehuda, Ketzad, how do you make the change? Ketzad Mishana, Im haya ragil lechel shnei tafshilin, yochel min echad. If he normally has two tafshilin, so then all he has to have is just one min. That's an example of a shinoi, but it doesn't have to be that shinoi. He could do another shinoi. Im haya ragil lisod b'ser b'nei adam, if he normally eats with 10 people, large meal all the time, so then sod b'chamisha, then he has 5 people at a meal. He should do some type of change. Haya ragil lishos eser kosos, he plans to drink 10 cups of wine. Shos chamisha kosos, he should only drink 5 cups of wine. So that's some type of shino. Then the Braisa continues and says, Bamed v'amamurim, when are these true? This only if it exists, this happens, this suda happens after noon, after the sixth hour. But if the suda is taking place prior to noon, then these restrictions do not apply. So this we see, this Braisa supports the opinion of the first presentation of Rav Yehuda. Tani idach, there's yet another brayse that tells us, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, lo yochal basa lo yisha yayin, divrei Rabbi Meir. As we've seen already, three restrictions apply in the Sudum of Sekis. You can't have two tavshilin, you can't have meat, and you can't have wine. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Chacham omrim yishana umimai basar b'yayim. Chacham say, no, it's not about removing those three elements, it just means changing something about them. Or so first, you shana, change something, and then a person should have less meat and less wine, but you can actually have meat and wine during the Sudum of Sekis. According to the Chachamim, we don't pass him like. Ketab memait. How does one have less meat and wine? Im haya ragel lechel litra basar, if he normally has an amount of a litra of meat, yochachatzi litra, he should have half that amount during the Sudum of Sekis. Haya ragel lishos log yain, if he normally has a log of wine, yishachatzi log, he should have half of that amount. Im ein ragel koyak, if he doesn't have anything at all, let's say normally his meal does not consist of meat or wine, asr, then he may not have anything during the Sudum of Sekis. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer im haya ragel lechel tznon o meliach acher tzudaso harushis biyado. If he normally has tznon, a sharp type of food, or he normally has a salty type of food as some form of dessert, I guess, then he's allowed to have that. Right. So Rashi says, what's meliach? Rashi higher up says meliach is dog or bas meliach, a fish or a piece of meat that had been salted. If you let the meat sit in salt for 3 days, it loses a lot of its flavor. The Gemara is going to explain this later on. So since it loses its flavor, it's not considered real basar and not subject to the isser. That's what it sounds like. Is that what's explained in the article there?
It doesn't say. It just says salted fish or meat.
I would have said like a dessert. But it sounds like from Rashi, it's not a dessert. It's something that really loses its flavor. And not considered basar.
But it does specifically say achar sudasa, so right. What's the purpose?
I guess they used to have meat for dessert even also.
But it sounds like, so they would have not salted meat during the meal, and then after the meal, for some reason, they would have this it's untasty or bland.
Right, exactly, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I agree. Right, Rashi says, it doesn't have any tam. What kind of dessert is that?
Well, maybe the idea was to clear your palate or something, get the taste of food out of you.
Let's see. Yeah, but after the meal, you want like the taste to stick with you for a while. Oh, nothing. Okay, I don't know. There are a number of different things that we have during our meals that they, you know, than what they did back in those days. Okay. There's a whole there's a meal that the Shulchan Aruch discusses, certain halachas of brachos, that we say that anything that you say, when you say a motzi, anything during the meal is included under the motzi, but if you have dessert, so you're supposed to say a separate bracha depending on what the food is. But there's a whole another meal, like a different course that they would have. The Shulchan Aruch says that we don't have that anymore. It's a later course after the meal, before dessert, which we don't have. Maybe it's referring to that course. But it's unfamiliar to us because we don't have that. Okay, so let's look at Tosfos for a second before we go further. Tosfos, Dibur Maschio, Erev Tishbav lo yochal adam shei tavshilin. We already saw this quoted in a couple of brises that a person may not have two different tavshilin on Tishbav. So our minhag is to have a piece of bread and water, that's all. And some egg and bread on the eggs and bread and some water as a sudum of sekis and some ashes. So Tosfos writes, "Perish shtei tavshilin yotzalamer b'shtei kederos." How do you define shtei tavshilin? Has to be in two separate pots. Kigon shikorin ha'olam achalnu beis minim shikorin mishun. Like people would refer to mishun. I don't know what mishun is, but aval ein leeser leechel tavshil she'osim mibetzelim mimagvinim beitim. Let's say a person makes a nice meal of some onions, cheese, and eggs. Egg salad, but with cheese in it. And you make it all, you cook it together all in one pot. The afagav, he goes on to a tangent a little bit. Afagav, the ain regilin lehelim lechol, but saying chayim, even though people don't eat raw eggs, raw onions rather. Kedamar be'irvin, achal batzel, v'hishkim mace, person who eats this and wakes up early is going to die. Shekashin lechol gufo sh'odim, kecharoves, it's very dangerous for a person to have a raw onion. Afa pikein, ma'acha she'en osin behem tavshil v'yatzmo, im lo yasimu oshem and oshim davar, shosin tam tam ain kari tavshil. de'laser habeitzim shemesim imayim. Since people don't cook onions separately, and it's made always with something else, so we don't view it as an independent tafshil. The Tosas is a little bit confusing, not sure exactly how to read this. In the beginning, Tosas, it sounded like you were saying, if you cook them together in one pot, even though it's multiple items, it's considered one tafshil. In the end, he seems to be saying something about onions not being eaten on its own. Not sure exactly what he's trying to say there. But then Tosas continues and says, "Aval min ha'gvina ha'mavushal, b'kdeira ein chashash l'echol d'chol davar shu ne'echol k'mo shichai, k'mo chalav k'mo gvina, k'mo tapuchim ein behem taras bishul klal l'klal." He has another chiddush. So let's say something that's eaten raw normally and you decide to cook it, that's also not considered tafshil. So according to Tosos, you could have a meal of all these raw foods. It's just tafshil and you can have two cooked items, but you could have a sutum afsekis of apples and whatever else you get eaten, any other fruit, along with your bread, along with your eggs, just not things that are cooked. And even things that get cooked, according to Tosos, has to be something that's cooked separately. But if you cook things all together, even though it's different ingredients, that's considered one tafshil, according to Tosos. Again, our minhag is to just have bread and eggs, and that's it. Okay, now, continuing in the Gemara, we are now the one medium wide line down. There's one medium wide line that starts Ragil. The Gemara in the middle says, Tanya Idach. Kol shu mishum tisha b'av asr lecha basr v'asr asr lecha basr v'asr l'shosh yayim v'asr l'chotz. Anything that is because of tisha b'av, that you can't eat that meal, was mean called tisha b'av. Rashi writes, kol shu mishum tisha b'av kigon suda hamafsik ba. So that last meal, you cannot have meat and you cannot drink wine. Anything that's not the last meal you may. And asr l'chotz, you also can't bathe. I'm not sure what he means by that. Talking about food. So, what do you mean you can't bathe? Does it mean after that point you can't bathe anymore, but before that point you may bathe? There's no Rashi, but it doesn't seem to fit in, because right now we're talking about any meal that's because of Tisha B'Av, what you cannot eat. So, what's the relevance of Rechitza here? The moment you have the Sudam of Sekes, then the Issa Rechitza kicks in. Before that time, according to Rabbeinu Chanan, you're saying Issa Chita does not, the minhag normally is that we don't bathe all 9 days, but that's where the Brisa says. And then, Kol She'eino Mishum Tisha B'Av, any meal that is not because of Tisha B'Av, such as what? So Rashi gives two examples. Rashi says, Kagon Suda Mafsik B'Av B'Tanis Tzibur. On a Tanis Tzibur, the Suda Mafsekis, we don't really have a typical Suda Mafsekis and a regular Tanis Tzibur like this coming Shiva Sabatamas, but the last meal you have before Shiva Sabatamas begins, that is, another example, Tosus writes, Rashi writes rather, Suda She'eino Mafsik B'Av, or even on Erev Tisha B'Av, when it's not the last meal, it's a morning meal, either one of those, the halach is, says the Gemara, Mutter Lechel Basar L'Shosh Yain V'Asher Lichot, however. So we'll leave that Asher Lichot for a second aside, but you can have meat and you can have wine. So this coming Monday night, when we have your last meal before Shiva Asher B'Tamas begins, so then you may have meat and wine during that meal. So interesting that he writes Asher Lichot in this Brisa. So what does Rabbeinu Chanan do with this? Does he mention anything about that one? So I have in the side here that Gosvit Tzirum tells me it should be Mutter Lichot's, which makes more sense, because there is no real Isser Rechitz on Shivas B'Tamas. There might be Chumers to not bathe on Shivas B'Tamas, but Mikra didn't, it's completely Mutter. So that makes more sense. Okay, now the reason the difference between Sudam Afsekes before Tisha B'Av and the Sudam Afsekes before any other Tanya Sibor is that Tisha B'Av is about Avelus. And the moment you've had your last meal, so that meal alone, we're supposed to sit on the... We'll see in the Gemara in a moment. You're supposed to sit on the floor in a place of Avelus, because it's about Avelus, and not about Tanis Tzibur. And now, even though wine and meat is mutter for an Avel to normally have, so still, nonetheless, Tisha B'Av has a different type of din, that you cannot have meat and wine. Again, even though... It doesn't fit into either category, because Avelus on its own, you can have meat and wine. And Tanis Tzibur on its own, you can have meat and wine prior to Tanis Tzibur. So why then Tisha B'Av, which seems to have both elements of Avelus and Tanis Tzibur, why would that be Usser in having meat and wine? Doesn't seem to fit in, but for whatever the reason is, that is the Isser. Okay. It says the Gemara now. We are at Tanur Rabbanan. Tanur Rabbanan, Kol Mitzos, Hanuheges be'avel, nuhagas be'tishabav. any minug, any mitzvah that is kept by a regular avel, all those are going to be kept on Tisha B'Av as well. So Gemara is going to list a number of them. Aser b'achil v'shtia, you can't eat and drink. So that's already a strange one. Look what Rashi writes. Rashi writes, aser b'achil v'shtia, honey ain't noggin b'avel. That's not true. An avel is allowed to eat and drink during his shiva. So Rashi tells us we're adding not only, not exclusively things, exclusive things that are unique to Avelis, even other things as well. But among them are many things that are knowing by an Avel. Even though the first two examples we're giving does not apply to an Avel, it's still on the list, says Rashi. So what are other examples? That's Aser on Tisha B'Av. U'besicha, u'nias sandal, v'tashim remita, these things do apply to an Avel. V'aser likros b'torah b'nevim v'ksuvim, they can't learn anything. They can't learn Mishnah, they can't learn Gemara, they can't learn all these areas of Torah. But what may they learn? They are allowed to read in certain areas of Torah where they're not familiar with, where they're breaking their teeth over, it's not so good. When you know the Psukim and the Parshas well, you could fly through them, they're enjoyable. The stories in Nevi'im are very enjoyable. If you don't know them well, you're struggling over to try to read the words, struggling over to understand the words, so that is permitted because there's no simcha there. And same holds true for Mishnayos, the person who hasn't learned certain areas of Mishnayos, according to this Gemara, may learn Mishnayos and Uksin, for example, which might not be familiar to someone. There's no hanah from the beginning of learning these things. And what else may a person learn? An avel and a person on Tisha B'Av. Kari b'kinos b'iov, he can read kinos, which is Eicha. He can read Eov, which are, you know, bad stories that happened to Eov that he experienced. B'dvam haroim, shebi'irmiah, in certain sections, pieces of Yirmiah, which are bad. B'tinokos shebeis rabam, b'telin. And the children, doesn't have their own school. The one day a year, they don't have school. Mishum shenemar, Pikuda Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev. The Pikuda Hashem Hashem, the commandments of Hashem are Yashar, and Misam Chilev makes a person happy. Since it makes a person happy, it's Aser for an Avel and a person on Tisha B'Av to learn these things, because we can't have Simcha on days of Avelis.
Well, Rambam once said that was the only day that his father didn't have school in Europe.
Only day.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was Chakim, but there was no such, you know, Bein Azmanim, there was none of this other stuff. That was it.
Wow.
Tisha B'Av.
Doesn't exist anymore.
And yet it's much more expensive than it was back then. Half the product for...
I think Sheikh Yitzchak here, they only have 1 month of break. It's supposed to 2 months. That's as close as we get. And I think Zilberman in Israel, maybe. Certain schools in Israel, maybe they have it like that. Okay. So then, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer... he says, no, even a place that a person is not comfortable reading, a person he's not familiar with, that too is going to be Aser. And who this is further, person in an area of Mishnayos which he may not be familiar with also, he should not be able to learn. Again, to the Chachamim. About what may he do? About Kari who be Eov, Bakinos, Vidvam Haram, Shabirmia, Vatinokos, Shabes Rabbin, Betelem, Mishum, Bo, Mishum, Shinemar, Bakut, Hashem, Sharm, Mitzam, Chilev. Huda argues and says, no. He agrees, anything that's inherently bad and sad, those stories you could bring, because those aren't going to bring simcha. The machlokas is an area of Torah, Mishnah, which is not bad, it's just unfamiliar to a person, that he thinks a person may not be able to read, because even though right now, the way he's struggling at first is going to be tzar, when he finally chaps the Gemara, he chaps the Mishnah, chaps the Psukim, he's going to get hana from understanding at the end of the day. As opposed to, Chacham thought, no, it was going to not be an issue of simcha. Might be how they understand a melus in general. Melus is hard. It's hard to work hard in something. But when you, in the end of the day, when you get the pshat, it is there's a lot of hana that person receives. Okay. The Gemara says now that lo yochal basar lo yisha yayin. The Mishnah told us, and we saw this already quoted a number of times in the Brisa on this page alone. The person may not have meat or wine during the Sudam of Sekes. So Tan of the Brisa says, Aval ochel hu basar meliach v'shos yayin magaso. Person may, however, eat basar meliach, salted, very, very much salted basar, which doesn't taste very good, apparently, even though they used to have it as their dessert, as we noted above. V'shos yayin magaso, they'd also drink wine that was, we'll define what exactly magaso means in a moment. So why were these things permitted? So basar meliach ad kama. What point does basar become meat, and does it turn to basar meliach, where it's no longer considered enjoyable? So Rav Chanina bar Kahana Mishmei de Shmuel calls man kishlamim, as long as it's the time it takes for shlamim. What does that mean, the time it takes for shlamim? So you look at Rashi. Rashi writes ad kama. There's around 10 lines from the bottom. Ad kama havi basar gamur. When is it still considered a full piece of meat? Dilo havi basar melech, where it hasn't yet turned over to a salted piece of meat, which is not so enjoyable. Kozman shu kishlamim, as long as it's like shlamim. What does that mean, shlamim? Shalosha bimelcho elishne yamim v'layla echad kizman achil shlamim. As long as it was only salted for 2 days and one night, like shlamim. The halacha is that most karbanos you eat the night and the day and the night, and then by morning you have to burn it. Shlamim is unique that you have a day, night, plus another day. So you have 2 days and one night. So whatever reason, they decided that if it's salted for longer than that amount, longer than 2 days like shlamim, then it gets the din of basar meliach. Ulahachi nakid kishlamim, Rashi continues and says, that's why we use the example of shlamim, debizman achil shlamim, ashechan de akir basar, because during the eating of shlamim, we find that the pasuk refers to it basar. Hanoser mi basar zevech mi shlamim. It's still considered basar as long as it's within those 2 days. Tfei, however, more than 2 days of being salted, lo ashechan de mikrim basar, we don't find that meat is still considered basar. After that point, it becomes bad, the meat. So again, this puts into question what we said above, that they used to have basar meliach as dessert. It's supposed to be enjoyable to them. This seems to say it wasn't so enjoyable. So that's the first definition. That's the type of meat a person may have, basically spoiled meat, or oversalted meat a person may have during Suda Mafsekis. And then the Gemara says, V'yayin magasa ad kama. What's considered yayin magasa? So the Gemara says, Kozman shu toses. Rashitosis is roseach, when it's still boiling and bubbling. I'm not sure exactly what that means. What it fermented too much, or didn't ferment enough, or it just went sour? Is there any explanation in the article for that? I don't know what kind of wine boils, unless they actually boil it.
Fermenting, as long as it is fermenting, it's considered new wine.
Uh-huh. So it's fermenting, but it hasn't aged yet, so it's not so enjoyable yet. During the fermenting process, it boils. That's what happens.
It doesn't use that word.
It doesn't even use the word roseach. Roseach means literally to boil, but
I have a most
effervescence. It uses as effervescence. Mm.
Uh huh.
So it's not boiling as in from heat. It's just boiling. It's just bubbling.
Chemical reactions. Uh huh. What does your Musa Rashi say?
Says Yain Chadash Migito Achu Machmitz Lios Yain Karilatosis.
Aha, okay, so that's the more I'm comfortable with that. Machmitz is to ferment. So it means go spoiling, but that really in the case of wine means to ferment. So I'm not sure what Rashi means by Roseach here, but again, he was the professional winemaker, so he knew what he was talking about. I don't. Even if he wasn't a winemaker, he'd still know more than I do. So anyways, the Gemara says that, so when is it considered Yayin Magasa, Kozman Shu Toses, as long as it's considered new, it's still going through the fermenting process. The Gemara says further, Tana Yayin Toses Ein Bo Mishim Gilur, that new wine that's been left uncovered overnight, there's no problem of Gilur. Why not? What's the issue there? So Rashi explains, there's an issue of leaving water or wine overnight uncovered. Why? Because Rashi says, "She'ein nachash shoseu ki yivrach mersi chaso." The reason we normally don't have the halacha is you're not supposed to leave water or wine unclean. Drink some of it, leave some venom behind. It's going to be very dangerous for the person the next morning to drink it. However, if the wine is in the process of boiling or fermenting, the noise, the reactions, it's going to scare away the snake's not going to drink from it and it won't leave the venom behind, so you can leave new wine uncovered. Now, the halacha is that we normally are not concerned with water or wine uncovered because we don't live in a place of snakes. No snakes live around here in this area of New York. Living in a place out west or in Israel near the desert, then there are snakes. So one could say maybe there it should be a concern. I'm not sure how common it was to have wine, you know, snakes in a person's home. But others say no. Even though Bizma is there, we might not have snakes where we live. The snakes was only one reason given. There are still other reasons why not to leave over wine or water uncovered in Psemius, Rachra or something, which is not brought down in the Gemara though, but they say there still are other reasons why, even though the Gemara doesn't bring it. So across the board, a person should never have wine or water left uncovered overnight. But again, general psak is it's permitted. Then the Gemara says, Kama tisisaso, how long does the fermenting take place? Shalosh yamim takes only 3 days. Is that to anyone's knowledge about how this works? Is that consistent with what we have nowadays? 3 days of fermenting? No one knows. Adam, you seem like a guy who goes through a wine...
I don't want you to get made.
Okay. Just consume it. They don't explain it? Yeah, I always wanted to go to one of these
wineries. We were supposed to go to a winery in Herzl, but...
They were okay.
Decided you'd rather sit out in the sun for longer.
Okay. All right, so one day, I think Ricky has been to the winery, so I'll have to ask him. Yeah, you go.
I don't think they sit for 3 days. I don't know what the 3 days.
It seems longer than 3 days, right? I would imagine.
Well, it's in the casks for a long
time. Right, but that's like aging. Is that the fermenting process, though? Yeah. You know, to get flavor, the barrel, and...
Right.
All right, okay, we'll have to keep this in mind and ask next time we go. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Merav, Kachayim Minhagel Sereb Yehuda, Rabbi Eli. So this was the minog that Erev Tisha B'Av Mivin Lepas Chareva B'Melach. They'd bring him a dry piece of bread and have some salt on it. V'Yoshev, interesting, who had salt on it. That's based on other dinim of the Hilchos B'Tzias Pas. We're always supposed to have salt on the bread because the bread in the Shulchan is compared to a Mizbech, and the Mizbech always had melach. There's always salt in all the Kabbalah, so we have a melach also on the bread. Either way, so they bring it, he'd sit down, Bain Tanner, the Kiraim, he'd sit in a place, Rashi explains, a Makam Menuval Shibibai. It's a very ugly, disgusting, not a very pleasant place to sit. Remember, they had ovens. A Tanner was a small oven, Kiraim was a little bit larger oven. They had both of these. You sit between them, it's probably full of soot and dust and ashes. So it was pretty gross there. V'och of a Shosel, Kitan Shemaim, he'd eat there. In that area, he'd drink container of a canteen of water, Vidoma Kamisha Mesa Mutalfanov, and it was as if someone died in front of him. And that's how he would partake in his Sudam of Sekas. And Tan Hassan, the Mishnah teaches us elsewhere, in Gemara and Brachos, that Malkum Shinag, really Mishnah in Psachim, Malkum Shinagu Lassus Malacha of Tisha B'Av, Osa, place that they had a custom to work on Tisha B'Av, but one may do it. Malkum Shinagu Shalalasos, place that they had the custom not to work during Tisha B'Av, Einosin, person shouldn't. Upachamakom Tam Chacham B'Delim. Now, no matter where you lived, even if you lived in a place where they did work on Tisha B'Av, Tam Chacham should always take upon himself not to work in that area. And it's not an issue of Losis Godu. They don't explain here why that's not, because I think the Gemara in Pesachim explains that since there's so many people who are batel anyways, many people who are not employed, so they'll think that this Talmud Chacham who isn't working is not employed as well. What you see also is that Talmud Chacham also had a parnasa, he also worked. Even though he's a Talmud Chacham, he also had a job. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Liolam Yasa Kol Adam Asma B'Talmud Chacham. Rav Shimon Gamliel says a person should always consider himself a Talmud Chacham and take upon himself not to work at all. And now this Gemara is quoted elsewhere. At one point, certain things a person is supposed to consider himself like a Talmud Chacham and take chumras, and certain times a person is not supposed to. It's an issue of yura. It's an issue of showing gaiva that I'm better than you. I'm doing this chumra, you're not doing the chumra. So you have to know when the proper balance is, when a person is supposed to take upon these chumras and when a person is not supposed to take upon these chumras. This is an example of Rashbag thinks that one should take upon the chumra and consider himself a Talmud Chacham. Tani Nami Hochi, there's a brisa that says the same idea that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Liyom Yasa Adam Atzma Ketam Chacham Kadeshi Yis Ana. A person should always consider himself a Tam Chacham in this regard, I think, in order that he should Yis Ana, he should have some inoy, he should have some affliction upon himself on the day of Tisha B'Av. Then Tani Idach, another brisa says Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer Kala Ochel Veshosu B'Tisha B'Av. Anybody who eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av. It's as if he's eating and drinking Yom Kippur, which is obviously much more serious. So the fact is, there is obviously a strong correlation between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. They seem to be polar opposites, that they're the only two fast days we have of the year that are full 24-25-hour days. They all have five inuyim to them. You know, Aser and Rechitza, and Aser and Yitzhasanda, Aser Tasha Shemitah, and Aser Achilish Shia. All five apply to both them. The Rambam writes in his Mishnah Torah, he only holds of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. He doesn't hold of Tosefes Shabbos, only Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So that you have to add on, begin Yom Kippur earlier. The Rambam in Peish Mishnayos in the end of Tainus, the very last Mishnah, he writes, it also applies to Tisha B'Av, Tosefes. Tisha B'Av should also be started earlier. So there are a lot of correlations between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So here too also, Rashbag says, anybody who eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, it's as if he's eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, to further highlight the correlation between these 2 days. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kol Ha'osam Lacha B'Tisha B'Av, anybody who does work on Tisha B'Av, Einos Roes Simen Bracha, Liyom, will not see Simen Bracha forever. So, no, the way way to read this, it sounds like the simple reading is that he won't see Sim Bracha in his entire life, on anything he does. So look at Tosos on the top. He writes, Kol ha'osam lacha b'tishrav eino roa Sim Bracha li'olam, klomer b'osam lacha shiragul asos b'tishrav. Don't tell me the guy is going to never see Bracha in his life. Okay, he did not the best thing by working on Tishrav, but he maybe didn't have a choice. That particular malacha will not generate any Bracha. But in terms of li'olam, for everything else and forever, that's not the case. Then, continuing the Braisa, he says, "Ein ro sim bracha liom v'chayv adam letzar l'mayit b'chvodo." Person should minimize and should increase his pain and should minimize his honor. Ubanosa v'any other hana shim hayaragel l'shach v'ashneikarim. This is the source that many of us have. At least in camp, we learn. At least I learned this in camp. You know, a person normally sleeps on two pillows. Lo yishav ki im al echad. He should only sleep on one pillow. The person normally sleeps on one pillow. He should sleep with no pillows. Aval ubros minikos einu nechayavos kulehai. But a woman who is pregnant or nursing should not take upon themselves such chumras. Shein yichol hisarik ba'atzman. They cannot cause so much pain. They're already considered cholim. So cholim, we don't tell them to take additional tsar upon themselves. Okay. Back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, kol ha'osim lacha b'tishav. We've read that one already. Okay, let's go to Chachamim Omerim. Kol ha'osim lacha b'tishav. Veinu Mesabel Yushalayim, anybody who works in Tisha B'Av and doesn't mourn over Yushalayim, Eina Ro B'Simchaso. He is not going to see the Simcha, the rejoicing of the returning of the Yushalayim in Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, Simchas Yushalayim V'Giluba, Kol Ohavav Siso So, Misos Kol HaMesablin Aleha. That's all part of the Pasuk. So, who's going to be Zocha to see the Simcha and the Sos of Yushalayim? He who was Mesabel when it was Charev. And that's Mikan Amru. That's from here we say, Kol Mesabel al Yushalayim, Zocha v'ro b'simchaso. Anybody who mourns over Yushalayim will be Zocha to see the Simcha, the rejoicing, the returning of Yushalayim. V'sheinu Mesabel Yushalayim, those who are not Mesabel Yushalayim, any ro b'simchaso will not see in the Simcha, the returning of Yushalayim. L'chor, this also applies to the Beis HaMikdash, even though this Pasuk is referring to, and the statements referring to Yushalayim in particular, I imagine it applies as well to the Beis HaMikdash. Seems to be a kavachomer to me. No, I don't think one would argue on that. Okay. Then the Gemara quotes yet another brisa along the same lines. Atani nami hachi kol ha'ochel basar v'shot ziyayin b'tishbav alav akas v'omer v'tiyav onosem alat smosam. So interesting here, that doesn't say anybody who eats or drinks stam, anybody who eats or drinks meat and wine in particular, such a person has the pasuk that his sins are going to be on himself, on his bones are himself. So, I'm not sure why that was only stated about meat and wine, not anything else. So Rashi therefore says, look at the Rashi all the way towards the top, second line down. Rashi says, Kola ocha basar v'shos yayin b'tishabav, alav akasav omer vati avonosam al atzmosam, b'tishabav kolomar b'suda ha'mafsikba. It didn't refer to Tishbav itself, it refers to the Suda Hasam of Sekis. Then that makes sense as to why Dafka Basar and Yain. What is strange is why the Pasuk calls it Tishbav itself, the one that's the Suda Hasam of Sekis. This might be an indication that the concept of Tosefes Tishbav might exist already. The Dinim of Tishbav already begin from the Suda Hasam of Sekis. Not all the Dinim, but some of the Dinim. Then the Gemara quotes the Machlokas we had in the Mishnah about Kfiyas Amita. Yehuda felt that you should turn over the bed. Now, we have different beds nowadays, but their beds, you know, they had this minog of flipping over the beds for an avel, and for Tisha B'Av, Chacham argued. So, Tanya, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, the Dvarecha, the Chacham say to Rabbi Yehuda, according to you, Ubros, Manikos, Matelen, what are they supposed to do? A pregnant lady or a nursing lady who are considered sick are not able to sleep on the other side of the bed when you turn it over. So, okay, a man, a healthy man or a healthy woman, so they could sleep on the other side of the mita. But according to you, what's a nursing woman, a pregnant woman supposed to do? Where is she going to sleep? Amalehem, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afani lo amarti elav yachol. I only said this about people who are able to. Someone who's sick, ein hachanami. I agree that you don't have to flip over the mita. But a healthy woman and a man who is healthy would have to flip over the mita and sleep on the opposite side of the bed. Tani nami hachi, the Braisa also states, Rabbi Yehuda lechachomim, who agrees that she'en yachol, that when they're not able to sleep on the other side of the bed, they don't have to flip over the bed. Umodim Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, and Chacham also agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, Biyachol, they also agree that when they're able to, if they can withstand the upside down bed, they should also flip it over. So it seems to be there's no machlokas between the two, they're both in agreement. That when the person's able to, so everyone agrees you should flip it over. And when the person's not able to sleep on the other side, then you shouldn't flip it over. My benai, what is the nafka mina between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim? So Gemara says, Ika benayu, shar mitos, the other beds of the house. Meaning, do you only have to, everyone agrees, the bed itself that you sleep on has to be flipped over if they're able to do that. That everybody agrees to. However, other beds of the house that no one's sleeping on, that's machlokas. Kidetanya. Kishar mulachavos mito, when we say the halacha, this is from the Gemara Moikatam, we say that the minag was to flip over the beds, lo mitasa bavadhu kofa, not only the bed of the actual ovel, and lo mitas kulan hukofa, all the beds in the house, they mean beds of other bedrooms that nobody's sleeping on, or sometimes they had beds that were used to place as a furniture. Those should also be flipped over as well, like a sofa. So Amar Rava Hilchasa Katana Didan Vlo Hodu L'Chacham and Kolikr. The halacha is like our Mishnah, that Chachamim don't agree, they entirely argue with the Chachamim. Even though the Braisa had presented the Chachamim's opinion as saying that they partially agree to Rav Yehuda when a person can handle it, our Mishnah doesn't seem to say that at all. Our Mishnah seems to reject entirely this concept of Kriyas Hamita. Look at Tosos now. Tosos writes, Amar Rava Halacha Katana Didan V'lo Hodu L'Chachamim Perish Shein Tzarech L'Kfos Hamita. Nowadays we do not have to flip over the beds. So even though the Gemara here says by Tishra we don't flip over the mita, in Moi Katam where it talks about Hilchos Avil, the lacha is to flip over the mita there. So why don't we do that at all? Tishra we don't do it because the Gemara says we don't do it. But what about an Avil? An Avil should flip over the mita. So it says Tosfos because of Kshefim. If Goyim see us that we're doing these flipping over the beds, they think we're doing some witchcraft, and it's going to be a sakana for us, they're going to try to kill us for doing witchcraft. So therefore we don't do it for those reasons. Tosus of Moed Katan says a different reason why we don't do it nowadays, Kfis Hamita, even by an Avel, because he says our beds are different than those beds. We can't flip over our beds. It doesn't work so well. The springs in the bottom, it doesn't work. So therefore, for technical reasons, we don't apply the din of Kfis Hamita to an Avel. Now, some say, I think Rav Salvechik suggested, that the idea of covering the mirrors, which is not founded in the Gemara, that's the same concept of Kfis Hamita. The Gemara Moed Katan that says, has this idea about, I forget what it says now, the top of the page. It says something about Kriyas Hamita, so Savajic learns from this idea that's how we're knowing that we're Mekayim that concept by covering the mirrors up. I'll have to get back to it. Okay. The other thing Mara says, the end of the Mishnah told us that Amr B'Shimon ben Gamliel lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael b'chamisha asar b'av v'kiyom ha-kipurim. There's no greater, no happier day as Tisha B'Av, as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. So what happened in these days that there is so much simcha? So Bishlama Yom Kippur, I understand why Yom Kippur is such a simcha day. Shem Deis Beis Slicho Mechila, Yom Shnis Baluchos HaChronos, the day that we were forgiven, the day that we received the second set of luchos. So that's a very happy day. Now this Gemara seems to go against another Gemara that we have. Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that why is it Ohala and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Because these days are serious. Does it make sense to have that we have the Svarim opened up, Akash Baruch is going to sign our name into either of Tzadikim or Rishayim, Misa or Lachayim, and we're going to be saying Hal? Doesn't make any sense. So that day seems like it's more of a serious day. This Gemara seems to indicate it's more of a Simcha day. So you have to figure out the balance. So it is a happy day, but it's still a serious day. You have to have the proper, we have a certain amount of confidence we're going to come out Slicha Mechila, but during the process, going through the motions of Yom Kippur, the day is a serious day, but at the end, it ends up being a very happy day. So anyways, we understand why Yom Kippur is a very happy day. Tu B'Av, Mayhi, why is Tu B'Av such a happy day? So Gemara is going to offer a number of explanations. We'll go only through a few of them. We'll leave some for tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is very short, but we'll go through some of them at least. So Gemara says, Amar Rehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehusru, Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh. It was the day, this week's Parsha actually, where the Shvatim were permitted to intermarry with each other. My Darsh, what was the drasha they started permitting Shvatim to intermarry? Pasuk says in this week's Parsha's Pinchas, Zeh Davar Shetziva Hashem Livnos Tzlafchad. This is the thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded to the daughters of Tzlafchad. Davar Zeh Lo Yeh Noag El B'Dor Zeh. That this halachas should only apply during this door. What halachas are we talking about? So, look at Rashi, Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zeh Bazeh. D'Rachman Amar V'chol Basi Oreshes Nachala, B'Gomer, that the daughter should be able to inherit the nachla of her father. If there are no sons but only daughters, the daughter inherits the nachla. The ksiv, then it's written, that the nachla should not go from one tribe to the next tribe. It has to stay within the tribe. So what does that mean? So a girl, so she inherits her father's property because she has no brothers. And then she marries someone from another tribe. Let's say they were allowed to marry from another tribe. So then she dies. Her nachla goes to her sons. Now her sons are not from her tribe. They're from a different tribe because she married into another shevet. So that's going to start switching over nachlas. So at that point, there was an iser to intermarry. You have to keep it within the family. But then a certain point came that they permitted them to marry within different shvatim. What was the drasha? So the next Rashi says, Zeh hadavar shetziva Hashem levno safchad v'gomer, zeh mitu. The word zeh is this. This thing applied to only levno safchad. Klomar lo yedavar zeh noeg ela bedor zeh. Bedor shel levno safchad, not. So it only applied during the generation of Tzlafchad, but not any point afterwards. So after that point in Tubav, they said, okay, now it's mutter to marry within different Shvatim. And that was the excitement. I guess they had more fish to choose from the sea. It was more, it was better for them. There's such a simcha day, I guess the Shvatim weren't big enough to choose from. So that was a happy day for them. As the interesting Rashbam, Rashbam writes in Baba Basra that this is the din of los sas of nachla, mata lamata, that you cannot pass one nachla from one shevet to the next shevet. He counts it as a mitzvah, one of the tarik mitzvahs he writes today. Rambam doesn't count it as tarik mitzvahs. Why not? So Rambam writes in the beginning that in order to be included as a 613 mitzvahs, it has to be a mitzvah ledoros, not l'shah. Since it's not a mitzvah ledoros, it's not counted as a mitzvah. It sounds from the Rashbam, if he meant what he wrote, that it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, it's hard for him to say that it applied ledoros, because the Gemara here says it didn't apply ledoros. So l'chor, he thinks that you don't have to have a mitzvah ledoros to be considered one of the 613 mitzvahs. If there's a mitzvah simply l'shaito, that qualifies as a mitzvah, according to the Rashbam. Okay, that was the first reason why it was such a happy day. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, a second reason why Tuba was so happy is Amar Rav Nachman Yom Shehutar Sheva Binyamin Lavo Bakal. This was the day they permitted Binyamin back to marry with the other Shvatim. What happened to Binyamin? It's a whole story of Pelegish Begiva without getting too involved with it. A terrible mice of Pelegish Begiva with Binyamin. So all the Shvatim ostracized the Sheva Binyamin, kicked them out of the community, and we're not going to have anything to do with you. After some time, they permitted them back in. Shenemar V'ish Yisrael Nishba B'mitzbe Leimor Ish Mimenu Lo Yitem Bito Binyamin Isha. They said, we're not going to give any of our daughters over to any of you, the men of Binyamin. So Gemara says, my darish, Amrav mi menu v'lo mi binyano. We're only going to not give our daughters to you, the actual people of Binyamin, but to your children we will pass our daughters on. So it was only for a short period of time where this Isser existed, not marrying into Binyamin. So once that drasha was made, the day came along, it was Tubav apparently, when they permitted Binyamin back to marry with the other Shvatim. Let's go a little bit further. Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shekalu Bo Mesi Midbar. Why was it such a happy day? Because this was the day that the Mesi Midbar stopped dying. Because we know that after the Meraglim, that all the people from 20 to 60 were going to die. We're not able to enter Eretz Yisrael. So every single year they died. So in Tuba it stopped. So we'll see in a second what exactly the process was. But Amar Mar says, Ad Shlo Kalu Mesi Midbar Lo Hayadibur in Moshe. So that Akash Baruch did not speak to Moshe Beinu again, until all the people from the Midbar died. When all them, the people who were supposed to die, Tamu, were wiped out, finally died. Hashem finally spoke to me. Eli haya dibur. To me, the dibur came back to me, returned back to me. So let's see for a second here. Let's read Rashi. Rashi, I think Tosfos saying the same idea. Look at Rashi, Shekalu Mesi Midbar. So Rashi says, D'tanya, Kol arba mishana shayu b'midbar, b'chol erev tishbav, haya hakariz yotzev omer tzulach lachbor. Every single year of the 40 years, a voice would come out and say, go bury yourself a kever. Vaya kol achav yachav yotzev v'chofer lo kever, v'yashim bar, he'd sleep in this, their own kever that night. Shema yamos kodem shiachbor, they might die before they get buried. So ulmachar, hakariz yotzev v'kori, yivdu l'chaim min amesim. Now anybody who's still alive, get up and go on. Anybody who was, I'm alive, I woke up okay, he gets up and continues to on the journeys in the Midbar. V'chol shaya nefesh chaim haya omid v'yotze. I read that already, sorry. V'chol shana haya osin kain. This happened every single year. V'b'shas arbam shana asu. V'l'macha amdu kulin chaim. And the 40th year came. Everybody woke up alive. And v'chev and shiro kach tamu. They were so amazed that everybody woke up alive. V'amru shema ta'inu b'chesh b'nachodesh. Maybe we made a mistake about the calculations of the month. And chodzu v'shachvu b'kiver. And they went to sleep again. B'leilas. Ad leil t'chamishas. They slept there for another 6 nights. Finally came along Tubav, V'chem and Shirosh and Ismala Halvana B'Tubav. They saw the moon is full. It's obviously not Tishbav anymore. Once it's a full moon, it's past Tishbav. Lomeis Echamem, none of them died. Yodu Shecheshbon Chodesh Mechavin. Their calculation was correct about the new month of Av. The Kfar Arbam Shana Shagzer Nishlamu. The 40-year decree was over. And Kavo Osador Loso Yom Tov. They made a Yom Tov for that day. We are not going to die. We're all going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore warranted a very big day of celebration. Okay, then let's do one final reason as to why the why Tu B'Av was such a happy day. So this the Gemara quotes from Ula Ula Amar Yom Shebitel Hoshea Ben Elu Prustalio Hoshev Yeravam Ben Nevat Adrachem Shlo Yalu Yisrael Regel. So we already saw this before quoted this idea by the Gzeres, right? The Bikurim and the Eitzim. We saw that then at that Gemara. So what happened was, the Yeravam ben Nevat established these little posts. Nobody could pass through, so nobody should go perform a Lila Regel. And Hoshea ben Ela came along, and he was Mevatel, these different posts. And that happened on Tu B'Av, and therefore that became a great celebration on Tu B'Av. V'amar, and continuing on, the wife V'amar, Le'ez Hashir Tzu Yalu, and he said, whoever wants is able to go ascend to Har Bais for Lili Regal, and again they made a celebration in with regards to that story. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. Top of Laman Aleph, and everyone in early Mazel Tov.